The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He is omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2 says, Paul says, listen carefully, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. When you open up your Bible in the morning, why is it good to pray, Holy Spirit of God, teach me? Because there's nothing the Holy Spirit does not know.
Well, a good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and we want to welcome you here today. And it's a great day here, not only because we get to jump back into God's Word expectantly, but also because our topic today is the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you're just now finding us, we've begun a big series that will carry us on in the next couple weeks on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Why is this so important? Well, because truth or doctrine or a right understanding of God should lead us to right worship of Him. That's really our goal, to see our hearts and our minds lit for the things of the Lord. And may the Lord do just that in our hearts and minds today. As we said, we're just beginning this series, so let's jump right into today's message and join our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, in a message entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit?
Look for the personal pronouns in the verses we're about to go through, okay? John 14, 16, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Notice capital H helper, paraclete, comforter. We're going to come to this in weeks to come. We're going to spend a whole sermon on these verses here. Excited for that. He says, to be with you forever. Now look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom, okay, right there, He's a person. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But notice this, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. There's no question Jesus, undeniably, irrefutably referring and addressing the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. Here's another verse, Acts 13, verse 2. Look at this one. This is another way to look at this. I love this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, okay, forces don't talk. Its can't speak, okay? The Holy Spirit said, now Holy Spirit's talking, set apart for me. Now He's referring to Himself. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So this one verse is presenting the Holy Spirit as a person in some beautifully magnificent ways. He's speaking, He's referring to Himself in the first person. Again, the personal pronouns being represented here, undeniably, the Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a He. You think about the Great Commission itself, and there's other passages that we could look at in John 15 and John 16, which say the same thing. Jesus referring directly to the Holy Spirit as a person and using the personal pronouns He and Him. But think about the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus says, I'm commanding them, baptizing them in the name. Now notice, that's singular. You can look that up now or later. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name. Now, why is the singular name so key? Because right in that moment, what Jesus is doing in the Great Commission itself, He is placing Father, Son, Holy Spirit on the identical equality and plane of both deity, being God, and personhood as well. Baptizing them in the singular name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, fully equal as God and as in their personhood. Wayne Grudem takes this and points out, he says this, imagine if this helps us to understand how significant that phrase is. Grudem says, imagine if Jesus says, in the name of Father, Son, and Archangel Michael. We'd be like, whoa, Michael got a promotion, man. He was really up there now because he's the same level as God. That contrast helps us to see just how much the Bible is stressing that the Holy Spirit is a person. One more example I want you to see here. Holy Spirit is a person. Ephesians 4, verse 30 on the screen for you. Notice it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Why is that key? You can't grieve an it. A force doesn't have feelings, but you can grieve a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He lives in those who are regenerated, who are saved in Jesus Christ. And we can grieve him because he is a person. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. Answer number two, who is the Holy Spirit? Massive, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Again, we're careful how we speak of him, because if we call him an it, we are ceasing to call him God. So we call him who he is, a person who is God. Now, how do we know the Holy Spirit is God? Well, the word tells us so in many different places. Here's a chart on the screen for you. I want you to see, okay, this is outlining the names and the titles of the Holy Spirit, which can only be held by someone who is God. By the way, this message has high content. There's a lot of information here. I exhort you. I encourage you. If it's a little much in this moment right now, here's what I suggest to you. Don't watch one TV show this week, just one. Don't watch one TV show and double back on this message. Double back on your notes, double back online. We're going to put all the slides up online for you as well. Okay, we're going to do that this week. And so you can look at these things and study them. I was so blessed. I've taught this many times before. I was so blessed again in my worship to understand the power of doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So what do we learn about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is eternal. In Hebrews 9, verse 14, it says, the eternal Spirit. So he has existed always. He was not created. Only God has eternally existed. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Psalm 139, David says, where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from his presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to Sheol, you are also there. The Spirit of God is everywhere. Only God is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He is omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2 says, Paul says, listen carefully, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. When you open up your Bible in the morning, why is it good to pray, Holy Spirit of God, teach me? Because there's nothing the Holy Spirit does not know. The Holy Spirit can search the mind of God himself, and therefore he becomes our most important instructor in this life called the Christian life. He is omniscient. There is nothing he does not know. He is all-knowing. He is also omnipotent. Only God is all-powerful. In Luke chapter 1, referring to the incarnation, Gabriel says to Mary, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will come upon you. You shall conceive and bear a son. And then Gabriel says this, for nothing will be impossible with God. What Gabriel did, he equates God and the omnipotence in that moment with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is all powerful. The Holy Spirit must be God. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit, of course, is just that. He's holy. In Romans 1, verse 4, it says, according to the Spirit of holiness. And that context is raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Awesome. The Holy Spirit was the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and it calls him the Spirit of holiness. Loved ones, this just in, the Holy Spirit is God. We need him. He is awesome. He is everything. You can also, another way in Scripture to prove that he is God, in John chapter 3, referring to being born again, Jesus Christ says this. He says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hear what he's saying there. Jesus says, if you are truly to be saved, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. You cannot enter into God's kingdom apart from the Holy Spirit. That's important for some of us to hear right now. You are here right now and you think you save yourself by something you do or something you've done. Incorrect. Big X. And it's impossible to be truly saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God and the life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates, who causes us to become new and be made new creations. The Holy Spirit is God. Last example on this, Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. God used their example to teach a powerful lesson in the early church. They sold their property for so much, they lied about how much they got from it, they kept back some of the proceeds for themselves. God used this as a tremendously serious example in the early church. Listen to what Peter says. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart, notice, to lie to the Holy Spirit? So this phrase is very important, okay? To lie to the Holy Spirit. We're going to find out the Holy Spirit's God in this. And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. Okay, so remember that phrase, lie to the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next verse. Peter says this, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Okay, here's the important part. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Ready? You have not lied to man, but to God. So what he's doing right there, he's equating God in verse 4 with the Holy Spirit in verse 3. There is no doubt, completely obvious, Peter is equating the Holy Spirit as to God, God being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. And answer number 3 to who the Holy Spirit is, this is a great spot for an amen. The Holy Spirit is awesome. Come on. The Lord's listening, man. He's watching everything. I know you love him. I know you love him, but I'll give you one more try, right? One more try. The Holy Spirit is a person. Imagine if I preached like the way you just said amen. Can you imagine, eh? Can you imagine? You would beat me up and stuff, all right? All right? Thanks for letting me tease you a little bit. Love you. Love you so much. The Holy Spirit is awesome. Yeah, there we go. You are awesome, Holy Spirit. You know, it was interesting. I was introduced to someone this week, and the person introduced me to this person, and they said, she's awesome. And I had this outlining in my mind, and I was like, I know what you're saying. This person, I'm sure she's lovely, and I'm sure, you know, just wonderful spirit about her, and she's very friendly and kind, stuff like that. But I was thinking, like, well, there's human being awesome, and then there's like Holy Spirit awesome. You know what I'm saying? And like, are we awesome as human beings? I'm just like, sinful or not. I'm not very awesome, I'll tell you that much, man. I see what's inside here and I'm like, my heart scares me, man. Wow. All right. So there's like human being awesome, which really isn't awesome at all. No offense, everyone. All right. But then there's the Holy Spirit awesome. He really is awesome. There's an infinite difference between the two. And so we see the Holy Spirit and we understand who he is, his person, his presence, and his power. Loved ones, look right here. Look right here. Ready? In your life, don't ever, ever underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's awesome. Think about his role in everything we know scripturally. Think about the role of God's Spirit in the creation of the world. The role of God's Spirit in the incarnation. The role of God's Spirit in raising Jesus from the dead. The role of God's Spirit in our regeneration. The role of God's Spirit in the inspiration and illumination of the Word of God. The role of God's Spirit in our very sanctification and becoming more like Jesus Christ. This just did. The Holy Spirit is needed. He is awesome. He is everything. We don't stand a chance apart from him. And not only again upon those realities in Scripture, consider Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit's role in the life of Jesus. Consider this. This is just biblical fact. The Holy Spirit brings about the incarnation of Jesus. Brings him to this world, conception through the Holy Spirit in the womb. He anoints Jesus for public ministry. The Holy Spirit leads and empowers Jesus for his earthly life. The Holy Spirit raises Jesus from the dead. And even in the atonement, the Holy Spirit and the Father, they're all working together. Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, Jesus offered himself through his blood, through the eternal Spirit, that verse we heard already. The Holy Spirit instrumental in the atonement itself for our salvation, our redemption. Now just think about this. Sometimes when we look at Jesus, we're like, well, he was God. He was God, fully God and fully man, okay? So sometimes we emphasize his divinity so much, we fail to understand and appreciate his humanity. He was fully both. Jesus in his humanity fully depended upon the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. It's all proof right here. One theologian says it this way, the closest companion of Jesus Christ was the Holy Spirit. Think about that. I thought it was Peter. No. I thought it was John. No. The single closest companion in the life of ministry of Jesus Christ himself was the Holy Spirit. Hey, here's a question for you. Who's your closest companion? Some of you would say, my wife. Wrong answer, man. No offense to your wife, okay? Wrong answer. Who's your closest companion? My best friend, man. BFF. BFF, man. No, wrong answer. Wrong answer. Who's your closest companion, man? No, my neighbor. We're getting really tight, man. It's an amazing relationship. I'm dating this person now. We're like, woo, it's amazing. No, wrong answer. That is not your closest. If you're genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's where theology must lead to transformation. For you and me, our closest companion. I just love this thought. Lord, help us to understand this even now. Spirit of God, would you teach us even now the impact of these statements that you, Holy Spirit, individually for us, you are truly our best friend, our closest companion. You are the one who lives in us, okay? Your BFF can't live in you, but the Holy Spirit does. He lives in you to change you, to see you grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that was the case for Jesus, that has to be the case for us as well. How would your thoughts change, loved ones? How would your, even like the way you pray change? How would your expectation change just on that truth alone on a day-to-day basis? Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Again, think of what the Holy Spirit has done for us as believers. He's regenerated us. He makes us a new creation. He gives us spiritual wisdom and understanding. He convicts us of sin. He illumines the truth of God's word to us. He's the one who brings assurance of our salvation. The Holy Spirit empowers us for godly living. He comforts us. He teaches us. And he's the one who seals our redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. He does everything. He is everything. Imagine if we've neglected him. We're dead. One author says the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for all true, genuine spiritual transformation. Are you relying on the Holy Spirit? Now, have you ever considered this question? Why is the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Father is holy. We know that. The Bible refers to him as holy. The Son is holy. We know that. The Bible tells us the Son is holy. But they don't have the title of Holy Father, Holy Son in the same way as the Holy Spirit. So why not just Spirit of God? Why distinctly Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Here's the most fundamental reason why the Holy Spirit is called Holy Spirit. Because his greatest job, his greatest desire is to make us more holy. Think about it. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, look at it this way. The Holy Spirit comes and makes us new, causes us to be born again. He regenerates us. We're a new creation. The Holy Spirit then at that point, we become alive in him because of him, and he starts to saturate us with a spiritual, supernatural leaven. There's a Holy Spirit leaven that begins to go through our souls, and we are redeemed, we are saved, but then the process of sanctification begins, and the Holy Spirit begins to flow in our lives and starts to root out the cancer within us of sin and evil. The Holy Spirit, like pure, beautiful leaven, works through every part of our spiritual souls and begins to make us look more and more like Jesus Christ. This is his role in our lives. He fills us. He regenerates us. He consumes us. He sanctifies us. He makes us more holy. This is what he does. This is why we need him so. This is why we cannot neglect him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we heard this verse earlier in the service, but check it out from this standpoint now. We all believers, with unveiled face, we can see now the realities of Jesus Christ by faith, beholding the glory of the Lord. You say, how do I become more like Jesus? Behold his glory. Worship, adoration, love him. That's why it's the first and greatest commandment. I behold the glory of Jesus Christ, then I'm transformed into his image, as this says, the text says right here. And it's a process, one degree of glory to another. Now notice this, For this, what? Beholding the glory transformed one degree of glory. For this comes from the Lord. Now, we would often say, oh, the Lord Jesus. But what is the text? The text says this comes from the Lord. He's called Lord, who is the Spirit. So the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to cause us to behold the glory of Jesus Christ, that we might be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And this comes from him, from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He is God. He is awesome. Amen. Nice, nice, nice. Love you, love you, love you. And this then in our introductory message, fourthly, lastly, briefly, but very importantly, the Holy Spirit, he is this. He is someone who glorifies Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit deeply desires to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 16 for a second. Just turn one page over maybe where you are. John 16, verse 14. Jesus is speaking directly of the Holy Spirit in John 16, 14, and he says this, he, there you go again, the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, John 16, 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is awesome. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you considered the explicit role of God's Spirit in honoring Jesus Christ? Look at this theological chart, okay? Again, and if you were to take this message and you could articulate it on your own, if you could understand this message, sadly, I believe you would be further ahead than 90% of Christians in this nation, and possibly pastors too. Why? It's not taught, loved ones. This stuff isn't taught. If you take this seriously, if you put down the remote for 1 hour this week and be a student of the Lord because you love him, not so you get a big Bible head, but because you love him, you can use this the rest of your life. For as long as you live, you can use this as a blessing of understanding God's word and teaching others that God may get glory through your life. Encourage you, do it. Don't be lazy. Bible tells us we have to work hard at seeking to understand things sometimes. It's not supposed to be easy, but it is supposed to be amazing and awesome. Okay, notice this. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. Think about it. The Spirit of God illuminates the Bible. But what's the message of the Bible? Ultimately, the message of the Bible is the person of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible to shine light on Jesus Christ. The Spirit empowers gospel preaching for the proclamation of Christ, right? The whole point of the gospel is life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God blesses the preaching of Jesus Christ. He's behind shining light on Jesus Christ. The Spirit brings regeneration. What's regeneration? New life in Christ, Jesus. The whole point of regeneration by the Spirit of God is to live for Jesus. Takes us to our last part. The Spirit sanctifies us, makes us more like Christ. And the believer transforms us into the image of Christ. So his whole, think of the massive implications of all this biblical truth. The role of the Holy Spirit ultimately is seeking to point towards the person and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves it. He loves it. Sam Storms put it this way. The Holy Spirit is a Christological floodlight. Some of you are like, what'd you just say? The Holy Spirit is a Christological floodlight. Think of a floodlight at night and it lights up a house, beautiful, or lights up a tree in the yard, a floodlight, or lights up whatever. It lights something up, you can see it in its beauty. The Holy Spirit does that for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit being a Christological floodlight shines. He's never like, hey, look at me. Hey, I want some attention. He's so happy to say, look at Jesus. I'm shining the light on Jesus Christ. I want him to get glory. He's so good with that. He's God, but he's so good with the role of honoring and longing to see our lives give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to glorify Jesus. So think about it. That's why he works in us. That's why he fills us. You know, it's interesting. Some of us are like, well, Holy Spirit, I want you to strengthen me. Why? Well, because I want to get more stuff. I don't think he's going to be rushing to fill you in a new way, right? Holy Spirit, I want you to strengthen me because I want to pursue ministry, but really what it's about is your own glory. I don't think he's going to be really rushing to fill you there either. But when you say in all sincerity, Holy Spirit, I want your strength that my life might be used in the purposes and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, I expect you can encounter his filling in your life imminently. I started with a quote. I'm going to end with a quote. Here's a quote by Eric Thelnice. He says this. This is beautiful. Humans become what they adore. What do you adore? Whatever you adore, you will become. I read that in the Psalms, even this morning. I think Psalm 135. It says, those who love idols, those who make them, who worship them, they become like them. And so do all those who trust in them. Humans become what they adore. What are you adoring? The Spirit works to foster adoration of Christ so that people will become like him. See, notice here, therefore, thus, sanctification, becoming more like Christ, flows from adoration. Loved ones, this is why what we do now is so important. This is why your worship of Jesus Christ is so important. That's where the greatest transformation takes place. True worship of him. Singing, praying, adoring, loving, submitting, surrendering in God's word, fellowship with God's people, seeking to be used. If you forfeit a genuine sense of adoration, you're forfeiting being changed in the image of Jesus Christ, and you're forfeiting the strength of God in your life because the Spirit of God fills us, empowers us to see this because that happens to lead to that. See, he says, and both are accomplished by the Spirit. This is what the Spirit's excited about. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to fill our lives with adoration because in our adoration of Jesus Christ, we are then conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. And we are fully dependent on the Holy Spirit to do so. So think about it as we start this series now, this introduction today. I mean, do you think the Holy Spirit wants to do something new in you? Do you believe the Holy Spirit wants to do a fresh work in you? I mean, yeah, he does, man. Like, do you want it? Or are you like, whatever. Well, he'll pass by and he'll find the person who does. Do you think the Holy Spirit is done changing you into the image of Jesus Christ? Do you think he's kind of like, yeah, 5 out of 10, we're good. See you in a couple decades. No. He is so longing to fill, to take every room in your house and to transform you and I into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think in this series that maybe he'll lead you to a time of repentance of the neglect of the Holy Spirit, that we might be renewed and filled and experience a new love and joy and peace and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is 100% God's will for your life and mine. That's what the Holy Spirit desires to do. So what do we do? Where do we start? Well, here's what Jesus says in Luke 11, 13. Jesus says this, if you then who are evil, sinful, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? Listen, and he says here, to those who ask him. That's not talking about conversion, Holy Spirit. That's talking ongoing life every day, the desire for the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. We're excited. And I pray that you are too.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.